So this is Rabbi Marvin Jacob, or what's the Jewish name?
Yechiel Michel.
Rabbi Yechiel Michel Jacob.
Or Marvin.
Or Marvin. And when did you first come to Lakewood?
Look, I was learning in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yankov Yosef.
Yeah.
And I was learning by the Rosh Yeshiva's best Talmud ever.
Uh-huh.
Rabbi Menachem Mendel Kravitz.
Uh-huh.
He learned with the Rosh Yeshiva in Kletsk. And he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yankov Yosef. I was learning by him.
Yeah. What year was that?
1952, 53,
uh-huh.
54. And many of the Talmidim in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yankov Yosef who learned Bar Mendel Zatzal went from Yankov Yosef to Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
Many viewed Yankov Yosef in those days as almost a stepping stone, a preparatory school for Lakewood. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Zatzal, would come periodically to the Smedrash of Yeshiva's Rabbeinu Yankov Yosef and say Shiurim. The entire Smedrash would assemble in the Smedrash with all of the Rosh Yeshivas, meaning Rav Kravitz Zatzal, Rav Shaya Shimonovitz, Rav Shmuel David Varshavshik, Rav Yehuda Leib Kagan, and Rav Zadel Epstein, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Tendler. Those were the Rosh Yeshiva in the Besmedrash.
Uh-huh.
And the whole Besmedrash would hear a Shia from the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Zatzal.
Yeah.
And many Yankov Yosef Talmidim had the opportunity to interact with the Rav Aaron Zatzal because he did come periodically to Yankov Yosef to deliver, to give shiurim, and because Rav Kravitz, Rav Mendel Kravitz, would urge his Talmidim to go to Lakewood, and so would Rav Shavshik, who himself was a Kamenitzer, but he would urge Talmidim in those days to go to Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
And when a young man would graduate from the high school in Yankov Yosef, he would like...
Hold a second, there's the door open. Hold a second. Sorry, then my Adam just came home from Toronto, so he wanted to say hello.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And when a young man would graduate from high school, and in yeshiva in Yankov Yosef, he would be urged to go on to Lakewood, and that's how so many Yankov Yosef Talmidim became Talmidim of Rav Aaron in Lakewood. And you've spoken to many of them, be they Meir Hershkowitz was one of the first, and Yisrael Meir Kagan, and Shaul Kagan.
I knew them. I knew him.
And Misha Hirsch, and Meir Stern, who's now in Passaic, and Yankov Schneidman.
Mm.
And, I mean, I could go on and on.
Keep going.
Avram Shachner Zucker. I mean, all of the, Levi Dicker.
Yeah.
Nussbaum, Hirschfeld. I mean, there was like a stream of Talmidim that migrated, that went to Lakewood, that were Eila Lateda, so to speak, went from Yankov Yosef to Lakewood. Because when the Rosh Yeshiva came to Yankov Yosef to say Shiur, people were greatly, greatly taken with the notion, especially when afterwards urged to go by the Rosh Yeshiva of Yankov Yosef. The Rosh Yeshiva of Yankov Yosef were not very proprietary in so far as keeping the Talmidim to themselves.
Uh-huh.
I mean, their openness in urging Talmidim to rise in their Limud HaTorah, to grow in their Limud HaTorah, notion of that was Lakewood. Lakewood was then, I would say, the greatest and the best yeshiva in the world, despite its size that was a fraction of what it is today, because it had the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in the world. It was the best. It really was. And in America, for sure, Eretz Yisrael was not what it is today. You know, El Al didn't fly with frequency. Uh-huh. In those days, if you went to Israel, you would more likely than not travel by boat with Zim lines.
Uh-huh.
It was quite a substantial trip. So there wasn't traffic going back and forth from Eretz Yisrael insofar as the yeshiva world was concerned, uh-huh, as there is today. You were an American, so you went to Lakewood. There was one other yeshiva. It was Spring Valley, but it was a different kind of yeshiva. It certainly did not have, you know, Rabbaran as a Rosh Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't say that insofar as denigrating any yeshiva, but I'm saying that the more Litvische, the Lakewood types were less Chassidish,
uh-huh,
than the types that went from Tervadas and Chassidish yeshivas to,
uh-huh,
to Spring Valley. It was a great yeshiva. It too had a great yeshiva. Yankiv Zatzal was there. Rav Shor was there, Zatzal. Rav Shor Zatzal was there. But it was a different kind of yeshiva. Uh-huh. Different kind. Now, you can understand that Rabbaran was still the great, great Rabbaran, the great Rosh Yeshiva. But so, you know, we were drawn to the Baron because he came to Yankiv Yosef. He came because his Talmidim were there. Mendel was there, and it was a great yeshiva in its day. Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yankiv Yosef, a fantastic yeshiva. Rav Nevinensky, for example, was a great Talmud of he died very young of the Baron, and he too was in Yankiv Yosef, and there were others. I should look at this. His name slips my mind. I knew his Rebbetzin very well. Second husband was now Nifta. Okay, he wrote a small sefer. I knew him very well too. But Kletzke,
yeah,
found their place in Yankiv Yosef, saying shiurim there, and Byron was drawn to Yankiv Yosef also through Irving Bunim, who, mm-hmm, who was active not only in Lakewood but was the president of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yankiv Yosef, and it was, there were very close ties between the two. But Lakewood was of course at that point a very much smaller yeshiva, as I indicated earlier. I think when I came to Lakewood in 1954, which is, I now think back, is about 50 years ago.
Uh-huh.
When I came there 50 years ago, it was a radically different in size. It was radically smaller than it is today. As you mentioned, people estimate there's 3,000 to 4,000 Talmidim in Lakewood today. I think that I would estimate there was something like perhaps 60. Perhaps.
That's including the Europeans.
Including the Europeans. And the Europeans were people like Yossel Rosenblum, and he was there, Leib Rutkin, you know, and,
yeah,
and Leff, who would later went to Chicago, who was in Kletzk. Mm-hmm. See, who else? Which of the Europeans? Of course, Rav Dave Schwartzman was, mm-hmm, there. I'm trying to think. Europeans. There were Kletzke there, yes, but this is 54.
Was Bittersfeld there?
Yeah, he may have been there in my days, Bittersfeld. I think he was. He may have been there. If not, he came a little later, but he was there, yes. Yugasil was there. Who else? Any other names?
I can think of it.
Well, I can tell you that in the Besmeders you had Velvel Pearl.
Yeah, I spoke to him.
Did he give you anything?
Yes.
He's
except he's not very, he's not well.
Okay. I wish him well. But the point is, Thelval Burrell was there, and Yankel Schiff was there, and Mayor Hartstein was
May
there.
Mayor Hartstein, yeah.
And Yehuda Jacobs, was there. Yisrael Meir Kagan was there, and Moshe Hirsch was there, and Mayor Stern was there. What's his name? Epstein. Chaim Epstein.
Yeah, sure.
Came about a month or two after I came. This Leifa, who's now at Rebbe, came in the Zman I came. Four came with me. Three came with me. Mm. I came that Zman. I think it was a Gittin Zman. Let's see. I came. Zelikovitz came with me. Gartenberg. Four came. Gartenberg? Gartenberg. Gartenberg passed away. You know
do you remember Yehoshua Asaf?
Who?
Yehoshua Asaf.
No, he's not there when I was there.
Israeli.
He was not there when I was there.
Uh-huh. He was passed away.
Really?
Yeah.
But anyway, Gartenberg passed away maybe 10 or 15 years ago. He passed away young. But he came, Zelikovitz came, Leifa came, and I came. Mm-hmm. Now, when Leifa came with me, he was in my... My recollection is he was literally the first Chassidish type who came to Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Walked in with a girdle.
Mm-hmm.
And a longish words, a big beged about Chassidish. And there was a little ruckus in the besmedish that he was wearing the girdle and the yeshiva wasn't. Did you hear about that?
Never heard that.
It was a little bit of a tumult.
I remember somebody put on a shimel like with the Vayimim Shneis time.
Yeah, but that was later.
He was
a very Chassidish guy, as you can understand. He wasn't wearing a shtreimel because he wasn't married. But he wore a girdle. And the Shiva admonished certain people in the Besmedesh that... they should not, as I said earlier, should not be critical of his wearing a girdle. On that basis, it was hasty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was, in my view, the first Chassidish guy that came to Lake. Okay, Meir was also Hartstein, but not outwardly.
Right.
The beged, his godim was not.
What about Spiegel? Remember them? Spiegel?
He was not, his beged was not. He didn't wear a Chassidish godim.
Right.
One Spiegel was there when I was there.
Which one?
My recollection serves me, it might have been Yankel, who passed away.
Look, there's two others.
No, those were not there. But Yankel may have been there when I was there. Eshenishdo.
Oh.
You know why I mean Yankel?
He
ultimately lived on the Lower East Side and was the Rav of the Ramana Shishul.
Don't remember him. Rabbi Spiegel. He was one of those brothers?
Yeah. He had a twin brother, but Yankel Spiegel. Okay, what's the difference? He was there. There was a fellow named Sass Talmud there. A heavy set, short guy. Came, I think, from Canada.
No, I wouldn't know him.
Okay, he was there, my dear. But there was a Tannenbaum who I now see.
What's his name?
He from Ottawa.
Yeah. He was in Chicago, too?
I think so.
Yeah,
but he's an out-of-towner.
Yeah.
And out of town, and I see him in Muncie these days. Yeah, so we talk when we see each other. But as I said, I was giving you names: Mayor Hershkowitz, and Chaim Wasserman.
He was in Denver.
He went to Denver with Kagan.
Wait, hold it.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, go ahead.
He went to Denver with Kagan, and they rejuvenated Denver. I mean, amazing. I was there at the yeshiva very shortly after they opened it. And to this day, you know, Wasserman and I do see each other from time to time, stay in touch. But but the trying just to remember names as I go. Hoberman was, of course, there, and
oh yeah, he's here now.
Yes, and
he also don't want to speak.
David Svays, he went off to Israel Shenifta, I think. It's Svays' brother.
Uh-huh.
He was in the Kailal, and Ishmael Feivelson was in the Kailal.
Remember Moshe Eisenman?
Sure, he was there. He came from Vineland.
Right. Well, he came from Vineland. He went to Vineland.
No, he was. My recollection is that he was from Vineland.
Oh yeah.
And he went
he's
back.
He's European.
Well, he came from Gateshead, I should say.
That's a different one. There's two. There's two Moshe Eisenmans. There's Moshe Eisenman who had a yeshiva in Vineland, and the Moshe Eisenman, a cousin that came from Gateshead.
There was only one in Lakewood in my days.
Uh-huh.
And the one who went to Vineland was probably one I knew.
Uh-huh.
Probably the one I knew, because, you know, there's a lot of time has passed, and I could confuse things. I don't know why Gateshead and Vineland sort of...
Because it was. I have somebody named Moshe Eisenman who I interviewed who was from Gateshead. But it's not the same one. The one I...
It's not the same one that went to Vineland.
Right.
But he was in Lakewood in my days, the one that came from Gateshead.
I see. I know. That's true, too.
So that must be the one I'm talking
about. Yeah.
That must be the one I'm talking about. But as I name names, Heimowitz... You remember Heimowitz?
No.
Okay, these are names. These are names that just come to mind as I look up and down the aisles of people. Of course, Feigelstock was there. He didn't have a beard.
Then there's some. Kemmer Rubin, Los Angeles, must have been in your time.
Who?
He came Rubin, Los Angeles.
No.
What's
his name? Small was there from Chicago. I'm just trying to think up and down the shooters, you know, of the people. It was a very small yeshiva. I'm almost naming all the people who were there. Almost naming all the people who were there.
Was Dov less than your time?
No, it was later. There was someone there, he lives in Muncie now, Yankov Novogradsky.
No, don't have him.
Yeah, you might want to talk
to him. Did you not Yankel Schiff, you know?
Yes, Yankel Schiff was there in my day. Certainly there in my day. He used to say over the shiurim, and then he stopped.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
I guess he stopped. Yeah, I know what you mean. But
initially when I came, he was saying over those shivas shiurim after those shivas said them.
Uh-huh. And then, so...
I mean, he heard them before, and he heard them during, and he said them over after.
Right.
So...
That's like May Hosting also was that way, no?
Not in my time.
Uh-huh.
Not in my time.
Uh-huh.
Not in my time, no. So... The Zman I came, of course, Reb Nosson Wachtfeigel was the Mashgiach.
Uh-huh.
He was a lot younger than he is.
Yeah, well, not really.
Yes. Last time I spoke to you, was he alive?
Nope.
No,
he died about two, three years ago.
Yeah, so he wasn't then either. But when I came, he was a pretty young person at that time. And one of the events I recall vividly was I came into the Bis Medrash,
uh-huh.
And I was standing at the back of the Bis Medrash, and people were learning. It was the first day of this month. People already, they were misadded for themselves, chavrusas from the Zman earlier. So the people who were new, like I said, only four people came, Gartenberg, Leifer, Jacob, and Zilakovitz. So the people who came... had made chavrusas for themselves, you understand.
Uh-huh.
I was standing at the back of the Bis Medrash. It wasn't a very big Bis Medrash, and somebody standing next to me happens to be Zilakovitz.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at me, and I look at him, and he turns to me. I'll never forget this. And he says to me, "How does someone get a chavrusa here?"
Uh-huh.
So I said, as I told him, "I'm just here myself. I just arrived."
Uh-huh.
I suppose you talk to the Mashgiach.
Uh-huh.
In any event, when I came, there were literally no more rooms in either. There were only two buildings, Forest and 7th, and one up the block where they ate. There were no more rooms in these buildings. So for the first, I would say, three, four, five, I don't remember, maybe as much as 5 or 6 months, I lived with Reb Schneer in his home with his family.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I lived there. I had a room, and I lived there.
Where did he live?
Do you think I remember where he lived?
If I had prompted you, maybe you remember.
No.
On Princeton Avenue?
I don't remember.
You don't remember.
If you prompted me from now the next year, I wouldn't remember. But I know he, I know I had a room, and I lived with him until the yeshiva got additional space in a rooming house. You know, they... off-season or whatever, or they rented certain rooms or a block of rooms on a certain floor. And just like I didn't have space, there were several others who didn't have either, the new people.
Well, the person I mentioned that I should have known was Pinchas Grumman.
Sure, I knew Pinchas Grumman.
He went to Los Angeles.
Yes, I knew him.
Yeah.
He was there when I came.
Yeah.
So, to show you how it worked, and I suppose it's different from what it is today.
Yeah.
When I decided to go to Lakewood, how old was I? I got smicha, I was maybe 22 years old. Okay. So when I came, I was like 19, 19 and a half to Lakewood.
You got smicha for a bar?
No. Oh. I'll tell you what happened. I went on the recommendation of the Mendel.
Right.
And an appointment was made for me to see the Shiva. About. So I went to Borough Park and just talk and learning with the Shiva. I just didn't come to the Shiva.
Yeah, right.
And I came on the recommendation of his Talmud, the Mendel, you know. I personally did not know the Shiva at the time, so Mendel introduced him to me, and I came and talked and learning with the Shiva, not once but twice. And I suppose in those years, if somebody wanted to go to the Yeshiva, much the same as I did, first spoken learning with the Shiva. And I suppose for the purpose of seeing whether the Shiva wanted to meet that person, the Shiva wanted to talk and learning with that person. So I went twice to Borough Park to talk and learning with him. And we were learning a Masechta in the Yeshiva, and we spoke and learning together. He spoke and learning with me, I should say. And in essence, gave me a Bechina. I mean, I think about it years later when I had a bechina for smicha, it wasn't much different. The only difference is that this bechina was to get into a yeshiva. That bechina was to get a klaf with a smicha.
So who did you get it from eventually?
Yeah, I'll tell you that, Yankiv Yosef. But the point was that, and after the bechina or after we spoke and learning, nobody called it a bechina, but after we spoke in learning, the Shiva said to me, "Zel kumen of dem zman, come this man to the yeshiva." So I packed the bag and I went to Lakewood. And let me tell you, in those years, you know, you didn't have thousands of talmidim in yeshivas in Israel and yeshivas in America. For a person my age at that time, who abandoned everything else, went to learn full time in a yeshiva, just like the others who went to Lakewood, we were rather unique. We were rather unique.
So it must have been a tremendous pull that he had to do that to people.
Young American people, yes. Because in America in those days, the yeshivas, when young people finished high school, they either, you know, they were driven to colleges or to Yeshiva University or to here or to there. But, you know, to the professions.
Right.
You know, these were different times from which we live in today,
mm-hmm.
where everyone who who's 16, 17, 18 wants to sit and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So your parents could not afford.
Right, economically.
Financially, parents were in no position to support a child, or if the child got married, a family. Certainly my father wasn't in that kind of a position, nor did I have friends whose parents were in that position. So when I said I'm going to Lakewood,
mm-hmm.
That was a commitment you made with a tremendous amount of bitach.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would you do with the rest of your life? You'd sit in the yeshiva, and how would you make a living, and where? And I mean, it was... The uncertainties loomed large. So whoever was in Lakewood, the Mesiras Nefesh to go to a yeshiva and put aside all other things that might gain you a livelihood, there was a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh to require that. That allowed you to do that. Because your parents were not standing behind you saying to you that I'll take care of the rent and I'll take care of the... of your all your needs, and it that wasn't like today.
Right.
People were not in the position to do those things.
Sure.
So, but off I went. The Shiva said, "Come." I came. Of course, I was proud to come. I was. What can I tell you? Having spoken to the Shiva, and he accepted me, and my parents were proud of me, and I felt very good about it.
Your parents did give you some support.
No support.
You said they were proud.
They were of course proud of me, but the point is, I was then single. The yeshiva gave me my meals.
Uh-huh.
And, times were different. Expenses weren't what they are today.
Yeah.
I didn't have a car, and I just got on a bus and I went.
Right.
You took a bag, got on a bus, and you went.
Well, maybe people didn't need as much as they need today.
Today is a different world. I have a suit or two, or maybe a set of clothing for the weekdays, one for Shabbos, and you went. Yeah, you had one suitcase. I didn't go with a lot of luggage. A suitcase. That was it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I wasn't married, but like as I tell you, in those days. The great, great majority of people went in a different direction.
That's true.
And it required tremendous, tremendous serious nefesh to learn Torah, to go to Lakewood.
But
Lakewood was not, as today, the path adopted by most yeshivalites, who go through a yeshiva. And then high school, and a little bit of a Smedish.
Well, my son went to Lakewood too, but later on. But I'll tell you something.
You went in 1966, much later.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but the economic, people, the way people look at economics today is completely different than from my time.
I want to tell you something. My father had no ability to put me into a business or to support me.
Uh-huh.
So if I went from an economic standpoint, if I said I was going to Lakewood, there was no, so to speak, exit scenario I saw that said that as I sat in Lakewood, if I sat there 10 years or sat there forever, my economic or my financial well-being was assured.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea about where and how I would, derive the money to live.
So there must have been something about the...
It was a love of learning Torah by the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in the world, in the best yeshiva, and can I describe to you what it meant to be in a yeshiva where the Rosh Yeshiva was a Baron Cutler itself?
You have to recognize that. There's a lot of people at that time that didn't even recognize who Rav Aaron Cutler was.
I'm, Yeah, that's for sure, because the yeshiva, as I said, had very few talmidim.
I'm talking about what I call already Orthodox people.
Well, what, that is true.
They didn't know what it was.
That is true.
Like, you couldn't explain to them what it was.
Exactly. That is true. Yeah, the ordinary balabos.
In fact, you remember Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld? He wasn't a Talmud here. He was in Yisro Chanan.
Right.
He's the brother-in-law of this lifer, by the way.
Yeah.
He told me that he once went to visit the Rosh Yeshiva's sister. He had a sister, you know that?
Yeah, of course I know.
Older sister, Malkia.
Yeah.
She was in the hospital.
Right.
So somebody, a friend there said, let's go visit her. So they came in, and she told him, he says, what do you want to be? He's talking about real Yiddish. She says, he wants to be a rabbi. A rav? This time my brother, I'm a lamed, with guns given off of him.
Yeah, yeah.
His own sister said that.
Yes.
But he was very respectful.
But the point is, you know, these circles in which we moved, dealing with the Rosh Yeshivas like you had in Yankiv Yosef, these were elite Torah circles who were Machshiv Torah, who understood it, and was haste, a younger man get learned in Lakewood, who has learned the greatest London in the world. Jena Zeiten, I mean, Sigmund Kletzke, and people like Yankel Schiff and Shmuel Feivelson and Dave Schwartzman, this is the greatest dimension.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest dimension. And just to be in the same mismatch, learning with them, I mean, it was the greatest schluss. Okay, so you went. If somebody said to me then, what are you going to make of yourself? I mean, where are you going to earn a living from? Things like that. I had no answer, but I didn't care. Not because a lot of people today might not care because they know that they
have something to fall back on.
Because they have parents to fall back on, and a father-in-law, and a grace was, or they send their wives to work. In those days, you had nothing to fall back on. It wasn't the mother to send the wife to work.
Uh-huh.
Wives, you got married, your wife stayed at home raising the children. They didn't go to work. It took me 50 years ago.
Uh-huh.
My wife didn't work when I got married. But anyway, so I went. I went to the yeshiva twice to talk to him in learning, and he spoke to me in learning and wanted to talk to me in learning. And despite the fact that I came highly recommended, he was very careful about who came into the yeshiva. He said a lot of things, but he wanted to know that people had a potential. When they came to him, you know, he wanted to understand what kind of a keli you were, what kind of a... So I stayed there for 3 zmanim.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose after 3 zmanim, I said to myself, Satakakutakasha, what am I going to do here ultimately? Because in those years, Shiduchim were not made like now. And it was very hard to, in other words, there weren't that many balabatim around who gave their daughters over to a benteira and supported them.
Right.
There was only one guy in Lakewood who got married right around then to a Septimus daughter, Mish Mendlowitz, who, by the way, was in Lakewood when I was there, and still I know him quite well. I see him in Muncie. And he married and stayed, and he, the yeshiva was known as a very good shidduch because Septimus was a wealthy man.
From Tervidas.
Yes.
The account, Louis Septimus.
Yes. Louis Septimus. Yeah. He was a wealthy man.
His children here.
And he understood what learning Torah was, and he was ready to support an Adam who would sit in the yeshiva. But there weren't that many Balabatim around who saw it that way. So you really, if you were thinking you were Mayan in the Zach, you know, you began to have thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So after I was there three zmanim, I went back to the Mendel.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the Mendel, will Tzadik Kohen in the yeshiva? She says, no, I don't have Vil Tzadik Kohen Kohen Tzadik. He says, Vil Tzalanen Fasmir, well, Dinah mentioned was in a Givay Medea. He says to me, when you left the lake with Lanin Yetz, Zay Lanin Yetz Yeradeh.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. He says, Aber das Wissen, Zay Haltenschein in Hilchus Shrita, Zem Shen Abgelein Hilchus, Zay Haltenschein in Hilchus Treve, Zem Shen Abgelein Hilchus Shrita, Zem Dirgelein Tayuchum. And do the snachnish galant that you were in Lakewood learning Noshim and Azik. So I said to him, so he said to me, Afal Pikain Zos Kumen, Zos, and Zos Lan and Matuns, and you know, June was how far away? This was October. We were going back for the Zman, you know, after the summer, September or so, Sir Mendel said, come. And I went, and I began learning Chul Nan Yehudeya. I only had about 9 months to do it. But, you know, having sat and learned in Lakewood day and night, I sat and learned day and night, literally, Chul Nan Yehudeya. And I really learned mostly by myself, because I was very much doing catch-up for the first couple of months, the first few months, but I was mamish learning day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I once said to Herschel Kurzrock, who had gotten smira from a Mendel a couple of years before, and I said to him, how do you know in the end, and that's when I began, as Mimveis Chelek Aleph Yeredeya. He says, there was Kenneth Durchland and Gans Chelek Aleph in Ein Tog. You know?
That's it.
Then you know it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, by the time June came around, I used to sit and in several hours a night learn through Gans Melichetz, Gans Basavacholov.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mummish sitting and waiting till they called me to the Pchina. I learned through Gans Hilchus Reye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a short time. You can't do it. I think back to those days. On my head, I knew ganz chelek aleph. I mean, and I don't mean just with shachtaz mechaber amo. I mean with alle prima godim and the pkeveges and the pischetshuves and the lomdes and alles. I knew in kamat, you know, a good chelek of chum that had a tremendous shaychus to what I was learning. And I have a scalp of cup and Ms. Galegna Len, and you know, when you're young, it's a lot easier. Because Malikta Len, and you're not in the office. That's what you do. It's amazing, once you do other things, it's very hard to have, you know, the kind of retention when you're only learning. In any event, I was so afraid to go to the Shiva and tell the Shiva that I wasn't coming back for the next month, that I just didn't. I just went. I said,
did you run into him again?
Listen to what happened. I sort of asked for a Mendel, could he please intervene on my behalf?
Yeah.
And apparently he didn't, because in those days Avraham Shachna Zucker was the Shiva's, you know, sort of Gabe,
yeah,
by the Baron. And I get a call. Zman began, I didn't go back, so I got a call from Avraham Shachna Zucker, the Shiva Mumachvei. So I went immediately to Baron Park, like I did when I came to the Yeshiva.
Yeah.
The Shiva wanted to know why I was leaving the Yeshiva. I said, I'm not really leaving learning, I'm going back to Yankiv Yeshiva, Hulan and Hulan. But I just thinking of Tachlis and Chasana.
Yeah.
She says, no, get the Chulin and Chulin here that day in Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
So I said to the Shiva, you know, I know I can, but ich will sein abgesundet von der ganzen Chabura, von der ganzen Yeshiva. I'd have to sit by a shtender myself and learn.
Uh-huh.
Here, I'm in a Chabura that's learning cool in your day. And the Yeshiva, he pressed me, he says, what? The King Asher, that's Nishdai. You know, he, when he identified someone as a person Roy to come to learn in his yeshiva, it was very much an elitist yeshiva, you should know, in those days. I don't know what it is today, I'm not there. But I know that in Europe, the yeshiva world was not for everybody. You know, Kamenitz and Emiyat and Slabodka, Mace was, you know, it ran more or less on the theme of Elojan. It was almost like a quota system. Not everybody packed a bag and went to Kamenitz or Tikhletsk or here or there. And because if you meet the people who learned in the European yeshivas and Allah's in a Gevein, Bali Kishoinis, they all had a great deal of talent. They came from Rabboni Shemishpoches, the Tata Gevein Arov, Tzi Asheich, Tzi, the child had it, and Luyashim Kop, but they all were Bali Kishoinis. And Lakewood in those days was more or less like a European yeshiva. And it, he identified, the yeshiva identified people who he wanted. When he invested something in them because they were in the yeshiva for several months, he did not want to see them go. So I, there was no way you could say no to him. You spoke to him. So you asked for time.
Yeah.
So I said, let me, you know, I, you know, I promised to get back to him and all. And he called me to him a second time, and I went the second time, and I suppose after the second time, either he spoke to Remendel, or as a result of what I said, and, you know, that I was not going to come back. Because I had other machshavas. It wasn't as if I was leaving yeshiva. I told him I was going to learn, but I meant I was learning this, you know. And that's when I left. You know, and but as I said, called me twice.
What year was that?
56. Twice I went to his home in Borough Park to talk to him because he made two attempts to bring me back.
He had a lot of concern for each Talmud.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, he invested a tremendous amount of time in making every effort, leaving no stone unturned, making every effort and seeing to it. And he, to get me back, he told me to stop out Kishon, Mr. Steigenlern, and Mr. Siddikimen. You know, because he had already invested several months. You know, I was already there. And the yeshiva world wasn't thousands of Talmidim. That was not the way the yeshiva world worked in those days. As I said before I came, I went through a rigorous, you know, call it a bechina. I talked and learning with the yeshiva. You know, there was no greater chochem in the world than a judge of character and a judge of a pregnancy. Spoke to you and pierced you and went inside of you, and when he said to you, come to the yeshiva, he had made a judgment about you, that you were roi to be there. Now, I don't know how it works now, but that's how it worked for me then, and that's 50 years ago. So, you know,
you don't have any children here?
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
But the point is that it was an experience that, of course, it's a vanished world. You don't see that world anymore because that's a world of the Baron. You know, he was the great Rosh Hashiva in Europe. He was a great Rosh Hashiva, and America was graced with his presence for a very limited amount.
So how do we keep on going if we don't have him?
That's what I'm saying. He was, to think that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you you know, allowed America to have him flourish here. And you can see his influence, because from his Lakewood, we today live, we today drink from those waters. To this day, he had a vision, he had an emuna, he had a bitachon, and you know, after a Holocaust, and after such a decimation of so much, I mean, you would have to look at a person like this, an ordinary person would look at him and say, you're a dreamer. Can't happen on this soil. This is America. He had a different vision completely. And he was Mansliya. He succeeded. Not his opposition, not his adversaries. And he was Mansliya because he was able to attract people to his yeshiva, people who had a similar vision, and build on that vision. So today, like I say to you, how many Talmidim in Lakewood? Thousands? Yeah, there are thousands. And Lakewood is today, I mean, I can only say to you that when I was there, it was a very small yeshiva in a very small town, remote from New York. It wasn't, you know, New York and Lakewood were not as close as they are today, because everything has become so much faster, technology and everything else. Remote from New York, small yeshiva. He understood what it required, not a yeshiva in New York City, a yeshiva outside New York City. He selected the place, began his yeshiva, he began from zero, from scratch. And he built it into something which was even, which is multiples the size of what existed in Europe. So, more Talmidim today in Lakewood than they were in all the yeshivas of Europe.
I was there. You're telling me. I saw what was in Europe.
So that's all I can tell you.
You told me a lot.
No, but when I was in the yeshiva, just to be in a besmedush, where Yungalait, today Gansa's daughter must come. You know, that's why. We gave, you know, Europe gave birth to so many Gainim in London. Because you had models you would look to, like Rav Dave would walk through the Vesmadish, all right? So there was a Chabur and this, a Chabur and that, and there were those who learned the Yeshivish and Sechta, and the Kailas were learning the phrase Royim, Tzikachim, Yeder Eder, who stopped him for the moment to ask him a Kashe. Hashayla, off and off. He spoke to that person as if he learned it, was learning it right now. Afalpi that he was learning Kachim and he was learning Yitten and he was, I mean, he was his mind, you know. But I can tell you from observing both of him and the Shivat Abaran, Sid Abaran is an Ishkikoman. Did I ever tell you the story of what happened on one Friday night?
No. I'm sure you didn't.
No?
No.
And you know, it's hard to have a very detailed recollection now, 50 years later, but I do have a recollection that Yeshiva was saying a shir on a Friday night in the winter. Because in the winter he said Friday night. And there were people in Lakewood. That particular Shabbos, Rav Pollard was there. Rav Pollard was a brisket. And Zinagre is a Talmud Chok. And he was listening to the shir. I wish I remembered the Yinyan and the Kasha. That's a bit shif, I guess. Anyway, when the shir was over, Rav Pollard asked the Kasha. And he asked it of, you know, Yankel Shif used to say over the shir. So he asked. Said Chungafanga Tumlin in the Besmedish because the Kashik means Zera Gutin. Yankel, who was a Menshi, who was, you know, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he had heard the Shiurim. As I said, he heard them before, he said them over afterwards, he heard them during, and Teretzatanish Gehad. So generally speaking, if Yankel got the kasha, competitor that he's got, Palafi Nikasha, people began to huddle around him. Because Pala had a shim even then. So they said, no, let Game Freak it up, Dave. And everyone's huddling around, and Dave answers to some Kasha and Technish competitors. And it's Vice Days. And this was a Kasha. Was he had abgeschlagen der ganze Yisoyin zu der Rishi Shiva Shia. Amol, no Akashim is he schlugt up a Raya zu dem Yisoyin. Of one under the Rayas. And the Yisoyin remains intact, okay? He's going to the very heart of the Shia.
Do you remember what it was?
If I remember. But he was going to the very Yisoyin of the Shia because, and why do I remember that? Because Aina is not Yvaina Kletzke, who said, you know, because people were much angefangen tumlin, much angestürmt, kommen a briske and they schlucked up the ganze Yisage for Shia. And this briske, this Kletzke, who is this Kletzke? He said over like this, and I'll never forget it. He says, ich will the Zogne of this. Rabban the Chingizog the Shiurim, he saw him, he said him before in Lakewood. He in Far Lakewood at the Gizog the Kletzk. In Far Kletzk at the Mizamizama Gizog the Slutskir. And Kainat Nam the Shapkishlok the Shiur. Not that it's impossible.
So who was it that said this?
To some Kletzk.
You don't remember who?
One of the Kletzk.
You don't remember which one?
I wish I remember. Maybe someone else would have a recollection of this.
Yeah.
But in any event, with tremendous Yiddish HaKovet, a whole group in Bereish, Rav Schwartzman, they approached the Shivit in the front of the Besmeders. And this Kletzke said before they went to the Shiva, if there, this is a Kasha, a Kutte Kasha, under the Shiva the Shengehaya. So Rav Dave, I'm telling you, I remember this, I wish I remembered the Kasha, and I wish I remembered the Sugya, but, and maybe others will remember it better than me, but he did not finish the Kasha. And the Baron was Miyashiv on the spot in his usual fashion with great brevity. But the Gizoktim Teretz the Kasha, and I tell you, people walked away Chofireish. I mean, because when the Shiva said it, it was like, why didn't I think of it? It's a green claw. And it was true, like this Kletzke said. The Shiva should have been Gizokt Asachmo. There is a mention of Miskehead. Melaz of Ilov Shlugan, and I remember that Kletzke said that he was witness once. That's impossible. And just like he predicted, Dave went over to the Shiva. It was took like about. He began to utter the Kasha, you know, and it was as if the Rosh Shiva knew. Or had heard of the Kasha before, took it into contemplation as a part of this year, and the Kasha is a following giver. You know? But, I mean, this I remember, like, this was a Friday night in that Bismedish, and that group, not that it was a big yeshiva, but the group grew and grew as Yankel considered the Kasha, then it went to them, Dave, and then this whole group was huddling near the Shiva, because when he spoke about it, it was like sparks were coming from his eyes, you know. He spoke with such vibrancy and such. I mean, these are the kinds of things that went on in that Bismedish. And it was, what can I tell you, it was a whole different world. And I spoke already too long.
Right, well, nothing too long. Yes, good
and
material.
But anyway, that's I have. I speak to you what I have recollections about, and it was what went on in a this fetish like that one day. Just the names of the people you hear who were there.
Okay, let me just finish this here. Okay.
But I'm talking 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but this is important material because I'm turning this off now. Thank you very much. I just want to talk.
The whole week. So when he came on Thursday night, the yeshiva was small enough at that time that I was able to go into the yeshiva. He used to sit in his room, in his cheder.
Yeah.
I used to talk and learning with him. I had a kasha, I had kashas. And I remember many times he used to take me by the hand if I chazer gedinger and bissel zu viel. You know? And he tried to explain it even better to me. Not in any angry way. Not in any angry way, but he said it a second time, and if necessary, a third time. Never in an angry way with a Talmud. But I used to look forward if I had a week of learning and I had a good kasha. And let's get that eight and dismiss the kasha and get a good, but you know, an appropriate terrence to talk to the shiva about. And if he used to sit in his room, and it was the door was open, and if he wanted to go in and talk about learning about anything, he was there. You didn't need to approach a gabbai. You didn't need to approach anybody. Or shiva was there, and I did that.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
I did that. So these one-on-one, you know, encounters, just talking and learning, I had many of them with him. What? How can you explain to a young person who he was? You can't even explain it to yourself.
That's true.
Because you yourself have to be on a certain madriga, this Mashiach says that. But you know you were in the presence of this was what can I tell you?
So maybe that's the reason why I'm having such a hard time.
A lot of people don't want to speak, maybe because they don't think they're right to shut this up and try to convey it. I think people should do the best they can in any event. It's, later in my life, I came into contact with still others, great people like Rav Moshe.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been the chair of the MTJ dinner for many years. And I used to speak to Rav Moshe and learn. And I interacted with Rav Henkin, who was a Adam Gadol at Mir. Henkin, who lived in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there was something very special about the bar. Very special. Different.
Like a malach.
Oh, malach elikin. Malach elikin, malach elikin. Yeah, it's very special, very special. It's impossible to describe. I knew Rav Schneer very well. I lived in his house for months. And he was a unique, such a special person. Different from his father. Hermesha was different. And who can describe Hermesha? I mean, these were all, what can I tell you?
Yeah.
It's a vanished world. We didn't know how rich we were at some point in America.
Well, you think this sort of goes by itself?
We didn't understand how wealthy we were, how rich we were. What was? I used to go up to the Agudas Hashemaim and speak to the Yankov Safs. I mean, we didn't understand what was there. I was young, but I ran to talk and learning with him. You know, and he was a different kind altogether. You know what that says in his Sefer and the Akdamah?
No.
Rabbi Yankov Sass?
No.
Rabbi Elazar Silver, it says, asked Rabbi Chaim Eizer, who was the biggest Eli in the Olam HaYeshivas? And without hesitating, he answered Rabbi Yankov Sass. He was a person, Kolateta Kolategata from Kav. He seldom opened the Sefer. He used to come up to the Akdamah and Shemamah to watch him and observe him and talk and learn with him. and he would never answer. He'd come in, first thing he'd say, Aglizalate.
Yeah.
I was a young boy, is that going to help to the tremendous machnasaya? So I would always say, no, no, but kumafeg akash. So I would ask, he says, quote, Siddiq and Etlechatek, Avoch, Vilarak, and Matzeres. You think he couldn't give me right away?
So why do that?
It's a tremendous honor. He would never. I'm telling you, when you watched him in the Anshimamad at the Gesedic Geshib, but never opened the Gemara. You know? But to give you an idea of what these people were, when the head of the Anshimamad on Henry Street, when Reuben modernized the Anshimamad, put a carpet on the floor. So he went over, so the Yankiv Safsal Zatzal mentioned to one of the Rabbonim who later told me. Not he told me, his son told me. This is a big Rav, and he from Europe knew Rav Safsal. He said to the to this Rav, he says, when he put they put down this carpet, he says, Doshmekchemitraform. You hear? Doshmekchemitraform. What does that mean? How are you Mishire a comment like that? The answer is that's in Dame is Gelegen Zeh Godless. Their Teda was learned Mitechanias and Dachkis and not in Schwelting and not in luxury and Ishtig Rambam and that was the farmers of Gishtik. This is the Maisim at Nishagazariya. The Gishtim Sveis farm, the Shagazariya, and what's the other one again now? So who was it? The other one is different. It's still Shagazari, you know. It's still Nidal. So I forget who was said this, but I can get you the. I heard this over from Reb Chaim Yitzchak Pupko. But in any event, he said, why did this say that as I had his gunumin in the Lundish of Eldos? Because the second sefer that he wrote is a Shagamina Rav Dachtchemet, and he made a few bucks a week over there, a few dollars a week at the Shagahat, a little more Rachvis. But the Teda he learned in his great poverty, you know, when he had to go borrow a Masechta and memorize that whole Masechta in Einacht, okay, and it's got was to drink and Nishmi to schlaf and Nishmi to sass and the Teda he gave in the Teda of Shishagazari. And there is, and when you looked at Rabbi Yankiv Safsal, it was a different Teda in Europe. It was a Dushmek Mitreform. This was, they saw that. It was different. Put it that way. I don't want to say today's Torah is not Torah. It was a different thing. Different thing altogether.
It's all Hashgacha.
Yeah, I mean, I used to hear years ago, 50 years ago or more, from certain Yeshivas that America had the potential to produce even more than Europe. And in terms of quantity, the output is greater. The Yeshivas are probably bigger and more better attended, you know. In other words, we have thousands of the Yeshivas. The European Yeshivas were not that large. compare 300 to 3,000, it's 10 times as large. So America always had that potential, because America had the potential of keeping people in the yeshivas without being concerned, as they are, just like today. They're not concerned about how they will make a living, so they have the ability to sit in the yeshiva and learn. In Europe, sooner or later they were driven from the yeshiva, either into rabbonis or business or whatever, they had to. Because nobody, you know, you couldn't on a large scale support what we support today. So in that sense, people felt that America had this potential, which it is realizing to a great extent. Which it is realizing.
Yeah, but still there's a lot of hope in America besides it.
Oh, please. In America, I can only describe it, it's Erev V'cheshech M'shtamshim B'Arvuvia. We have a lot of air. We have a lot of cheshire. And you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The upper courses has never been greater. And the chutzpah and unbelievable.
It's not upper courses in America. It's hefker. It's hefker. That's all it is.
It's a complete hefker.
It's hefker. It's not upper courses. It's hefker.
It's a complete hefkadus. A complete hefkadus in America. And somebody wants to call himself Orthodox, he calls himself Orthodox. If he's a little less Orthodox, it's modern Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's modern. you can't figure it out. It's an hefkadus, Hashem Kamayu. We didn't have these experiences, you know, 50 years ago. We didn't. And because they were closer to the source, to the market. Because if someone was going to be a Neizvorf, is he going to be a Neizvorf? He declared, I'm a Neizvorf, I'm a Mechol Shabbos, and this, that. I'm Reform, and that's it. Today, Reform, conservative, well, I'm traditional, I'm Orthodox.
It's a big problem.
I'm not an Orthodox.
How do you get along with these people?
Well, it's not getting better, I'll tell you that. I don't, that's why I say it's Erev Cheshech M'shtamshim B'Arvuvia. We fool ourselves.
Everybody talks about Achdus nowadays.
Achdus is, I don't know, what's the use of talking too much? All I can say to you is that we've got some very big problems, very big problems. We will come to certain good conclusions. For the moment, as I say, there's a lot of light, and there's a lot of darkness. We can't suddenly shut down. It's kind of like Zuck.
Who?
It's kind
of.
See, that it doesn't mesh up now. You got to call it like it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's it,
But Baruch Hashem, I'm lucky to live here.
Where? In Lakewood?
Yeah.
Well, Lakewood, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a mamash a mess. How I got to be here.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into it, it's not the subject.
Well, all I can tell you is that when I came there 50 years ago, I came across two individuals to show you what America was. One I went into on Madison to a cleaning store.
Yeah.
To bring a garment to clean.
Uh-huh.
A suit, a baseball. And this man behind the counter, of course, was standing bareheaded on a cup of garnish. His store was open on Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
And he would always delight when the B'nai Yeshiva, the younger lights would come into his store.
Uh-huh.
He would stop them to talk to them, and he says to me, I want to tell you, he says, that I'm a Vilna Yid, I come from Vilna.
Uh-huh.
And when I was growing up in Vilna, I went to Yeshiva, and I married in Vilna.
Mm-hmm.
And I would work all day, and then in the besmedish at night we had a chabura,
mm-hmm.
where we'd learn 5-6 hours after the work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really into learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had relatives, and I came here to America. This was pre-Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place I came, this is the story he told me,
mm-hmm.
was to Lakewood, because here's where my relatives were.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was, a Yugoman from Vilna. I was accustomed to being Eilach and Frum and all this, and I was learning and into learning. And my relatives told me, here's the business. You work on Shabbos, you eat. If not, you starve, you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first Shabbos I was in America. I worked.
Right.
And he would tell this, he would say this to me openly, freely. And I would say to him, I was a young man, I'd say, no, now you don't need to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's no one here compelling you, nor do you need to for
mm-hmm.
a livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And it made no impact.
Mm-hmm.
No impact. And there was a second man who I was trudging towards the yeshiva, either from Reb Schneer or from another place, because I didn't have a place in the yeshiva. So I was trudging to the yeshiva in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And this car stops, picks me up.
Mm-hmm.
And this white-haired man, I go into the car, he's giving me a lift.
Mm-hmm.
He says to me, I knew that a yeshiva from Europe,
mm-hmm.
this man is obviously not a Frum man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I come from, you know, I come from that part of Europe, he told me in English.
Mm-hmm.
He was already an elderly man.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I knew you're a yeshiva. So I said, are you ever going to speak to him? He says, yes. And he says, but here I came, I'm not through, but I knew you're a yeshiva, and I knew that I could shove it. He went to give names, began to drop names.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot believe. An older man was driving a very nice car. Gave me this lift. So you ran into people like this, even in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
But he spoke of the Rosh Hashiva and about the Rosh Hashiva
mm-hmm.
with such derecherets and such dread and such awe
mm-hmm.
and with such reverence, you cannot believe.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that he was not from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that too.
So those are the, but it was a whole different, existence. It was Lakewood. You remember when you came to the yeshiva, was Rabinowitz on the other side of the lake?
Rabinowitz.
In other words, were the you know, every Friday or every Shabbos.
Swimming?
Huh?
Is he went swimming there?
Yes.
He
was right on the lake. He had a house on
Jesse
the lake.
Rabinowitz?
Huh?
Is that Jesse Rabinowitz?
No, he was an Alter Yid in my days.
Oh, then it must be his father.
Yeah, was the father.
Yeah.
And we used to go to his house from there to swim in the lake.
Uh-huh.
We used to, in the warmer days.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, okay, so who was there then? Schmel, you remember Schmel from Chicago?
I think I stayed in his house.
Jack Schmel.
Yeah, I stayed in his house.
So yeah, he was a big swimmer.
Oh, yeah.
He used to go out into the middle of the lake.
He's from Williamsburg.
No.
Sure.
He married Rashi, whatever.
I don't know who he married, but...
He married a Chicago girl. I saw him recently.
He's originally from Williamsburg.
Yes, but he married a Chicago...
He was in Lincolnwood.
Yeah. He married a Chicago girl, and he's been there ever since.
Yeah.
And he and Novogratzky used to swim the lake.
Mm-hmm.
The length and breadth of the lake. And... used to go on, like Dicker and others. I mean, he used to go to Rabinowitz's place. He
mm-hmm.
was always very open to the
Elohim.
He was very close to the Shiva. One of the people who supported the Shiva, and like,
mm-hmm.
he had some money also. But that's it. I could talk and talk
all day. For somebody who had very little to say, you did a good job.
You have very little. Have a good
night. Good night. Thank you very much. Also, thank you. Bye.